Arnold Morales.
Hey, Arnold. You just got your car. Thanks for joining us. So this is Carl Kelbleich in Carrollton, Texas, and this is our monthly 100 Challenge conference call. As I just was starting out, I wanted to share a little quick message from a gentleman named James Wolfe. He's out near Texarkana, but he and I were talking the other day, and he had this concept called the sin of the desert. And I thought that that was really an interesting perspective. And what he said, he sent me as a text message, the sin of the desert, to see people wandering in the scorching heat, to daily see these suffering people, to see the thirst in their eyes, to know that the water, what the water is, and not to tell them. As believers and followers of our Savior Jesus, we commit the sin of the desert when we see thirsty, suffering people and fail to tell them about Jesus, the living water, that will save them from eternal pain and suffering in hell. Who do you know that is thirsty? So, you know, and we have a door hanger track, you know, that says if it's 2 a.m., would you want us to wake you from your sleep? And I think this concept here goes right along, you know, with that sin of the desert of, you know, because most people, when they see that their house is on fire, they do want to be woken up. And in the same way, you know, if somebody's in the desert and is thirsty, you know, they want us to give them a drink. So I think what I'd like to do is run through a few logistical things first, and then we'll go around the horn, hear reports from people. So the first thing is we've got our ConferReach scheduled for June 20th and 21st. That'll take place here in Carrollton, Texas. If you're coming from out of town, we do have some people that have offered their houses as places to stay. You know, so if you're coming and you want to keep your cost down, let us know and we can hook you up with a place to stay. If you're more comfortable in a hotel, then we can set you up that way as well. The schedule will be posted on the website very soon. But what we're planning on is basically three sessions. So there'll be a session Friday during the day from 10 to 5. And then there'll be a session Friday evening from 6 to 10, and then there'll be a session on Saturday from 8 in the morning till about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. The Saturday session is really where we plan to go get the 100 people and go door-to-door in the neighborhood. The intent of Friday during the day session will be exposing people to some other witnessing venues here in Carrollton and the Metroplex down in Dallas. And then the Friday evening will be worship fellowship and some training. So it'll be open registration to join, you know, one, two, or three of those sessions, you know, based on your availability and your schedule. So we'd love it for people to come, and, you know, so please reach out to me, call me, you know, if you have questions about that. There'll be more stuff coming out in email. The second thing I want to talk about is we've created a meetup group. So Roger Gannett is here with me at my house this evening on our call. And we met about 10 days ago, and we went door-to-door. And then afterwards, we talked, and we were talking about scheduling the ConferReach and various things for the ministry. Roger suggested that we have a meetup group as a way to coordinate our witnessing schedule. So this is basically going to be a huge time saver for me, because I've basically for the last, I don't know how many years, been manually updating a email that goes out, and then you know, every week putting in the schedule, what's happening where, and then updating that in the email in Constant Contact, and then updating it on a Google Calendar. So the nice thing with Meetup is it coordinates all of the email notification and allows people to RSVP for the event. So if you want to get on that meetup group, and there's basically two reasons to get on the meetup group. One, if you're going to attend one of our events, you're going to be able to RSVP to the events through the meetup group. Now, I recognize that a lot of people on this call aren't logistically close to us here in Texas where most of the events take place, but what we want to be able to do is coordinate, you know, as you go door-to-door in Reno and you go door-to-door in Middlebury, Tennessee, we want to be a central point to put that event on our calendar. That will then allow you to advertise the event to the people, you know, that you go witnessing with. They can then join RSVP. You'll know who's coming to your event. And the way you would do that is to coordinate either to me or to Roger. In fact, what I'll probably do is create an email alias so you can just send an email to an alias, and then that'll go to somebody and the event will get created. So the first thing is for people participating in the events, and like I said, a lot of them are Texas-based, but as we get the door-to-door going, we also have plans to crank back up some Major League Baseball outreach and some things like that. All these events will end up on this one meetup group. So the first reason is to be on the meetup group so that you can RSVP to an event. The second reason to be on the meetup group is that we want to all be praying for all of these events. So as people are out witnessing and going door-to-door and say, oh, there's a group in Louisiana that's going door-to-door, there's a group in North Carolina that's going to the abortion clinic, you know, we can all be praying for all of those things. And that prayer support, you know, I think is a very valuable piece of our ministry. So I encourage you to go to meetup.com/bazugan and then click on join. You can join the meetup group and you answer a few questions that kind of give some background. And then, you know, Roger, I will approve your membership and you'll be able to see all the witnessing events. The third thing logistically is about a month ago I created a Google group called 100 Challenge at googlegroups.com. And that Google group allows for each of the people in the group to communicate with each other directly. So instead of in the past months where I had at the end of the call sent out an email and said here's the phone numbers and here's the email addresses of everybody that was on the call, with the Google group, you can subscribe to the group, and then you can send an email to 100challenge@googlegroups.com. I don't remember the exact address of it, but I believe it's in the email that came out for this call. So if you join that group, you can then send emails that will go to all of the members of the group. I think there's about 10 members in that group right now, and there's about 50 people that are in the 100 Challenge. So obviously not everybody has joined that group yet, but it's been a good way just to coordinate. I know Bill sent us some prayer requests when he's going out to an abortion clinic, and Scott, I know, sent us a message when he was going out with his church to go door-to-door. And so I just encourage you to join that group and be able to leverage that. So I know that's a lot of information, so let me pause and see if there's questions, comments about the ConforReach, the meetup group, or the Google group, and if anybody has any questions about any of those.
Phil doesn't have any questions.
Okay.
So it's meetupgroup.com/bazugan.
It's so the address you go on the internet, go to meetup meetup.com/bazugan.
Okay.
And I can email it to you also, Mark, if you have trouble finding it. And I don't think does the B doesn't have to be capital or does it? The B can be capital or not capital. I'll email that link out as well.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And then when you decide when you're going to go out, you're going to go door-to-door, you're going to go do some outreach, if you'll let us know, we'll add an event on there. You can then advertise that event, you know, within your church, get people to RSVP. And once you log into the site, if you've never used Meetup, you know, what you can see is when you look at it, you'll be able to see, oh, there's an outreach on, you know, Tuesday night. You know, like I'm looking at it right here. I go to home. You know, even this conference call is listed in that event. But so, like Wednesday night, Dallas Stars playoff, you know, there's a thing and it shows, you know, Carl's going to that. So it's a way to be able to see who's going and how many people are going to be there, who's going to be there. You can register that you're bringing guests and things like that. But then it's also a way that we can, you know, you can communicate with the people, you can post messages in the group. There's also a mobile phone app, you know, for Android and for iPhone, so you can put the app on your phone. So anyways, I would encourage everyone to go to meetup.com/Bazugan and check out the group. And then if you have questions, contact myself or Roger. In fact, what I'll do is Roger's kind of the Meetup expert, so I will I'll send out an email after this call with his email address in there too, and then if there's specific questions about Meetup, you can contact him directly.
Yeah, I went to the site today, Carl, and checked it out. It's a pretty neat site. If you're technology challenged like I am, it's pretty simple. I mean, it's a pretty simple, straightforward process to get your grip on that thing. I didn't do it today because I didn't have time, but I plan to do that.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Is that Arnold or is that Bill?
No, it's Arnold.
It's Arnold. Okay, you can handle it. It's not that hard.
Nah, it's pretty simple. Everybody needs to get signed up. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
There we go. Okay. So next thing I want to talk about is this go around and get reports from folks. I'm going to start, actually. I'm going to pick on Roger first since he's sitting here in my dining room with me. But Roger came out with me door-to-door about 10 days ago. We went and knocked a bunch of doors here in Carrollton. So I'll let him give a report on how that went.
Yeah. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate you setting that up now. Yeah, this last week we had met up a little bit before that event. Coordinator Carl explained to me, you know, what the objective was for Carrollton, and so we ended up carpooling over together, picked a couple of blocks, about three blocks of a community in Carrollton on our map, and just started working through. I went with Carl and them on a couple of door knocks, and then took off, and we started alternating houses. You know, like one of us would move ahead while the other one was at a house, and then we'd just kind of skip over until we worked the whole block, came up the other side. We ran in a couple great opportunities. We've actually caught some believers that encouraged us on our walk through the neighborhood. Caught up with a couple of folks. One gentleman who is a little, you know, suspicious of what we were doing at first, but very much when we started talking about, hey, are there any needs that you have in your family that we could be praying for? He did bring up that his daughter had run away from home, and we could visibly see that he was, you know, upset and shaken by that. So, you know, he told us a little bit of that situation. We went out, prayed for him, prayed for his daughter in that situation. Didn't give us a whole lot of details, but we're just praying that the Lord would help him with his, whether it be strife or whatever is going on in the family, to, you know, be able to connect with his daughter and that that would turn out a good situation. And we had several people that that accepted track from us, and some engaged with us shortly. And one gentleman at the end of our round, I shared the gospel with him. He said, "Oh, hey, I'm a believer." And so we were asking why, how do you know? And I'm picking through some scripture. And it sounded like he's really a born-again Christian. And one concern that he had that he needed prayer for was his job situation. He lost his job here recently and was struggling with that. And Carl came and met up with me after he went to the end of the street. I prayed for the guy and his situation, and then Carl met up with me, and we started talking to him about resources and the community and things that would be helpful for his work situation. And just this week, Carl tells me that the guy followed up, sent him an email, they exchanged business cards, and Carl gave him a Bazookan card, and they're engaged and talking about resources. And I think Carl referred him to a career workshop at one of the area churches, and they're gonna catch up for coffee someday. So we made some pretty good connections there.
Yeah, it's really cool. You never know where the conversation's gonna go. And in fact, the gentleman had just called me before we had dinner this evening, so that was really encouraging. But thanks for your report, Roger. I think it's always great to hear, the other perspective, of other people being out with us.
I could add this week also. Also in my home neighborhood in Allen, Texas, had a huge party up and down my street. Went out, handed out tracts to people coming into the party, and engaged some people there too. It was later at night, but handed out a lot of the bill tracts.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really good.
Okay. Let's see, Gary, are you still with us?
Yeah,
you're
still with you. I haven't done too much door-to-door recently, so I could just be lifted up in prayer. We've gone out just downtown street witnessing, but just haven't had too many people joining me, so it's just usually myself, my son occasionally, but he's working, so.
Well.
Okay. And how does it go? What, do you have a particular part of Reno where you go when you go downtown there?
Yeah, we go down by what's called the Riverwalk. There's usually there's a whitewater park area for kayakers and all that, and then they've got some rocks, and they have some people with little remote control cars and trucks that sort of climb the rocks. So usually there's always at least a few people there that we can walk up, hand the track to, ask how they're doing, and direct it into the spiritual, and we share the gospel with them there. But I've been wanting to get back in door to door, but it seems like the interest just died out at the church, and I got a little discouraged. But that's why I'm back on the phone here to get plugged back in and get fired up about going door to door. There's a place over called Mira Loma. Over its probably middle class area, and we've had some luck there initially when we went out talking. So I'm looking at doing that with the weather getting better. There's a park there, and there's usually people all over the place. So just keep me in prayer about.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, I'm going to specifically be praying that the Lord will bring at least one person, to go with you. I know it.
Okay.
It can be hard to go by yourself. I mean, I know I've done it. I know Todd Cormier, he's gone by himself before. And, it's, I guess it's it becomes, you know, more fun, and there's fellowship and everything when there's other people along. But I'm gonna pray that somebody, will step forward and come with you to do that.
That'd be great. Thanks, Carl.
Yeah, absolutely. Scott, you there?
Time back up. Mr. Bill.
Hey, I'm Carl. Here I am, Carl. You said Scott.
Yeah, do you have any update for us?
Oh, yes, sir. Carl, we went out last Saturday and went out for a little while, and we were trying to find new places to go. We wanted to go around Sterlington and try to find some doors to knock on that. And we ended up going way out of the area, so we came back. We found a new neighborhood first that we wanted to try to go to. They had a sign up that said no soliciting. So if we would knock on the first door, they probably asked us if we saw the sign. And, you know, sharing the gospel is not soliciting, but I guess they don't want anybody going door to door in that neighborhood. There's an apartment complex we'd like to go to, but it's the same thing. They shun, you know, people passing out flowers or even going door to door. But we did go to one trailer park we've been to before, and I was looking for another guy I've talked to twice, and he wasn't there, but we left the door hanger on his trailer, and we handed out a lot of the door hangers to people in the Hoppy Easter track, and invited a few people, and we didn't have anybody come to Easter services from that, but we did talk to this one guy by the river. His name is Mike, and the way the young man were talking, he was like, I was expecting this big old mountain man, but he was a young-looking fellow, a little bit older than me, probably about probably in his 50s. Anyway, he lived right on the river and had a bunch of stuff in his yard, and you know, and he's real nice. And we talked to him and invited him to church, and he said he went to a church. And I asked him if he had, you know, would pass away, where would he go? Would he go to heaven? He said, I hope so. You know, and so, you know, I got to talk to him just a little bit, and we gave him those tracks and asked him to read it and read the back of the track. So hopefully this man, you know, will get saved. And he goes to a church, but he don't know if he's going to heaven or not. So pray for him. His name is Mike, and I'm going to try to go back and talk to him again one day and, you know, try to probably even pick him up for church because I don't think he has a vehicle. So that's about it. We're going to map it out next time we go and try to really hit some doors and have some good conversations about spiritual things and see where people are at. You know, there's a lot of people in this area, just like y'all know, in your area that needs Jesus.
Well, that's really a couple interesting things about that is, one is we even talked about the nose listening thing when Roger and I and a friend named Paul Kramer was with us. She said, you know, we're standing right here. We see the notice soliciting, but we also have their address. So I mean, what do you guys think? Should we take down their address and then we'll make a postcard and we'll mail the postcard directly to them? Since we, you know, I mean, it's a thought we had is we just take down the address and mail it in. Now it's not soliciting.
Yeah.
We can even make it say, you know, since you had a notice soliciting sign on your door, we're mailing this to you. But there's a lot of things we could do there. But, you know, it's interesting to me because I also don't believe that what we're doing is soliciting, but at the same time, right. I find that people that go to the effort of putting up a no soliciting sign, they typically don't want to be bothered with anything. Now, with that said, I can remember a day where, you know, I was doing like what Roger described, where we're alternating houses, and I come to the house, says no soliciting, so I skip past it. And then Todd and Randy came up, knocked right on that door, and ended up having an hour-long conversation with a couple Mormons at that door where it said no soliciting. So, you know, I guess you never really know what God's got in mind there. So, but I think we can definitely all pray about, you know, how do we handle the no soliciting door. I personally tend to just skip over, say a prayer and skip over, but... we had talked about, you know, maybe we should just mail them something afterwards, you know, because a postcard stamp is only, you know, 25 cents or something. So mm-hmm. we could make a postcard track and then just, you know, hand address it and stick a stamp on there and send it to them. So,
yeah.
Hey, I'd like to. Carl, I think that's a good idea. It's sort of maybe based on that track that you've got. It's 2 a.m. Would you want to be awakened? Maybe put something together like that to send out to the places that are no soliciting. Because, when we were out door-to-door, we saw a couple signs that said no soliciting, so we just passed on by, and I was like, man, it's too bad. I wonder how I can get a hold of these people.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be easy enough because you're walking down the street, so I was like, okay, I know that this is, like, my street is Arbor Creek Drive, and I was on a walk earlier. I'm like three doors up from me. There's a no soliciting sign. In Carrollton, you can either put a sign that says no soliciting, or you can buy one that's like an official, you know, looking sign, and Roger's nodding his head because he's seen it. Because once you go there, you see this official sign. And so, I mean, it'd be real easy just to write down the street number, you know, here's the name, put down the number, and then just go home and address these cards. So, yeah, that would, I mean, it'd be very easy to come up with a postcard for the 2 a.m., and it's just a copy and paste. So.
Yeah, something like, because I think that would get their attention a little bit, you know.
Yeah, well, the other thing we're thinking is, because eventually we could probably bulk mail them in if we got enough of them going. I mean, if we had more than 200 at a time, we could bulk mail them for less.
That's an idea.
You know, but, I mean, the other thing is you could just send us the addresses, because it's probably not a huge number. You just send us the addresses, and we'll mail them. That will save on postage. We'll have to mail them once. So we get somebody in the group here. We'll send the postcards to somebody with some stamps, and whoever wants to volunteer for it, when you hit one of those houses, you just send the address and an email to that person, and they send it out. So be praying about that. I can easily make the postcard. So if someone pray about who wants to put them in the mail, and we'll do it.
Okay.
So, Craig, what have you been up to? Craig still with us? Yeah, he's here.
Sorry, man, I was on mute. I'm chasing geese around the pasture. Trying to get them in the pen. See, I'll step over here because I'm having not very good success. So we had a good time. We went down to the business district. Our church printed up some neat empty tomb empty live cards for Easter, and we went out and handed those out and had some good conversations inviting people to Easter service, and the cards were really well done. And I figured if we didn't hand them out, they probably wouldn't get handed out, so we grabbed a good stack of them and handed them out. So,
cool.
Easter's a good time.
Was that up near your church then? And
in that little shopping center by the little shopping, the only shopping center. The nice thing about a small town, you cover a lot of area pretty quick.
Yeah, that's cool. Now I think last time you guys had about, you were getting close to being done with your city there in Tioga. Didn't shut up, or you still need to do that?
No, we still got the main section where the houses are closer together to do. So that's the easier section. We just haven't been over there yet.
Yeah. You have to let us know when you're going. Maybe Roger and I'll come up there and do that with you.
Yeah, that would be great. All right, I'm going to mute you again because I'm...
Okay. Go round up your geese. Mark, you still with us?
Hello?
Yeah. Did I lose Mark?
I'm still here.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, well, as some of you may know, I mentioned before up here in northern Indiana, we generally our door-to-door takes place between late April into late September, early October. And from October into this time of year, we have an outreach at church. We provide lunch for the people in our community, and they come in, and we, generally speaking, they each get a good news, bad news track. They get a flyer, and if they take their lunch to go, they get a flyer and a good news, bad news track, and they get a we try to engage people with the, we have a whiteboard, we have a theme of some sort, something that would stimulate spiritual conversation in some way, scripture verses and so forth. So, and we've had numerous opportunities to share, you know, the gospel, sometimes short, but nevertheless, we were able to engage in spiritual truth. And as well, we have some ladies that come most every week. They are from a Christian organization. These ladies are been in and out of jail, and this is kind of the last stop for them. Many were on drugs and so forth, and they for the most part, I'd say at least 50 to 60% that come in that are in this program have really been radically changed by Christ, and we have the opportunity to encourage these gals, and it's really a pleasure. They're really these gals that are just on fire for the Lord. They're not afraid to speak up, and anyway, it's just it's a breath of fresh air when they come in. So anyway, door-to-door will be coming to northern Indiana here in Elkhart County in a couple weeks, and I'm already getting butterflies. we are kind of a small church, but generally speaking, the leadership of the church is very encouraging, and they'll go out with me, and I'll sometimes it's difficult to get a person to go with me, and a lot of times my wife will go with me, but it's not easy for her to walk in the sun, so I have to be aware of that. So anyway, that's my story this week, and so I thank you for you all going out and being an encouragement to me just to hear your stories.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, and we'll be praying also for the Lord to raise up more workers there in Indiana, and Lord willing, we'll meet up with you. Either you'll come to Dallas, or else, Lord willing, we'll meet up in Cincinnati in June. So hopefully that'll work out one way or the other. So.
Yeah, I hear you. I hope so. I'd like that very much.
Bill, are you still there?
Yeah, I am. We haven't started our door-to-door yet because we don't have a church built in the neighborhood that we want to do the door-to-door in. And the money has finally been approved, and we're just waiting on all the final paperwork from the different agencies in the city as far as the sewage and drainage and all those permits that you have to get, you know. And North Carolina is probably one of the worst for unless you're building a business. If you're building a business, then it's okay, but the church makes it pretty difficult. So, got a new fellow that came to church a few weeks ago. Came up from the military, brought him up from Florida. And the pastor had visited with him, and this young fellow had mentioned that he knew the way of the master. And the pastor said, well, we have one fellow that goes out, talking about me. And so he and I went out to the abortion clinic Saturday a week ago. And we had a great time out. His first time out, he preached the very first time he went out. And he and I started.
I'm encouraging to Mark and Gary and the others that, you know, we pray for people to go, you know, to come along. We pray for the, you know, Lord to provide more people. And it's a great, testimony that they answered prayer for that. So,
well, That Saturday morning, I thought I was going to be by myself. And I had my prayer stand with me, and I laid it down on the ground to open it up, and my phone rang. And it was Derek. He was across the street in the Walgreens parking lot looking for me. And I told him where I was at, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I see you." So he helped me set up to the prayer stand, and we had some hecklers, and we had first time we had ladies out in the from the Planned Parenthood actually directing traffic away from us, directing the traffic to the very back of the building so that we couldn't speak to them. There was a black pastor and his wife and three ladies who were on the way to Easter Cantata practice, saw us there, and they stopped and stayed for a couple of hours. And a man that had stopped by on the previous Tuesday, his name was Marcus, no, Tom, he was an Army fellow. He just stopped by and shook all of our hands and thanked us for being out there. And that Saturday morning, I thought it was my pastor over in the parking lot. And I said, "I'd be dog, my pastor showed up." And I said, "Wait a minute, my pastor don't have a black car." Well, the guy came over. It was Tom and his son Dave, and they had their own poster material. They stopped by Walmart and bought that and had their marker pens, and they made their signs, and they stayed the full time with us. And I've got their email contact, and they plan on being out there next Saturday with me.
Wow.
So I ended up with four new people to go to the Planned Parenthood with me on Saturdays. So that's been really going good. I went to Raleigh today. A young man that got saved a little over a year ago, his name is Eric Hooks. I took him through the Way of the Master training, and he's been out on several outreaches with me. So he went to the Planned, it's not Planned Parenthood, it's Woman's Choice. And he preached for the first time today. A lot of things are happening, and the Lord is really blessing and moving and bringing people to me. I mean, we had a dinner on Friday night, and Derek was sitting across the table from me, and the young man sitting next to me, who's not a member of our church, and he's not saved, but Derek didn't know that. Derek said to him, he said, "Thomas," he said, "I can't go with Bill this Saturday." He said, "But he needs a backup. Would you mind going with him?" And the man said, "At the Planned Parenthood?" Derek said, "Yeah." Thomas said, I would feel kind of uncomfortable about doing that." Derek said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, you see, I paid for a lady to have an abortion." And we talked about, you know, God's love, God's forgiveness, and talked about repentance and faith and trust right there. You know, and I shared the gospel with Thomas about a year ago. And in the last year, three or four times, and he's just doesn't seem to get it. But he wanted to start taking the Way of the Master class, so now I'm teaching Derek and Thomas on Thursday nights. And so and I go to the abortion clinic on here in Fayetteville on Tuesdays and Saturdays, and I go to the one up in Raleigh on Mondays. And I teach the way of the master on Thursday nights.
Praise God.
Well, that's good. Well, it sounds like there's a lot going on there in North Carolina. You got Bill out there stirring things up. So that's awesome.
But I'm excited about maybe two of us coming to Texas. Hopefully three. If one of them can get off from work. And I want to come out because I want to go door to door. I want to be ready to do that because our church will be probably they'll probably be breaking ground by June, and hopefully it'll be done before the first of the year.
Well, that'd be a great way to start talking to people. In fact, there's a pastor down in Dripping Springs. He actually moved from California, moved to Dripping Springs, Texas, which is outside of Austin. And that's what he did to build his church, is he went, knocked on doors, and he goes to apartment complexes. And his name is Steve Sanchez. I don't know if you see him, if you're on Facebook, if you see him on there. But he's been a real encouragement. And so as you start building that church and you're out knocking on doors, say, hey, you know what that is? It's getting built across the way there. It'd be a great conversation starter. But that would be awesome to have you come out to Texas. We'll look forward to meeting you and your friends if they can come with you. So keep us posted. If you need a place to stay, let us know. We'll get that all worked out for you.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Todd, how you doing?
Doing good. Tell you what, that's got a good group of people here tonight. Hearing all these stories and things that are going on, I mean, I just really sense and in my spirit that God's just really raising up people, more and more. So he's doing what he said he would do, He continues to grow these ministries all around the country, and it's exciting, man. I mean, how many people do we have on this call right now? What, about eight? Seven, eight?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's just exciting. My son's been coming out with me regularly on Tuesday nights. So, in Denton, we're working two parts of the city at the same time. So on Tuesday nights, we work in like the middle and the west, the east side. And then on Saturdays, I'm still working over on the west side of the city. So maybe we'll circle around and meet, But it's exciting, man. I witnessed to a lady the other day. She never opened the door. I talked to her right through a hardwood door.
When you get done, work your way south, and we'll meet you in Lake Dallas.
Yeah, do
it. So when you get done with Denton, just start working your way south, and we'll work our way north in Paris.
Yeah. Is everybody still kind of staying up with the spread thing? Is everybody in the group still kind of looking, taking a look at the map every once in a while and just lifting those different groups around the country up? Because I truly believe that God's blessing and starting to bring more people into the field for working, because of our prayers. So is everybody involved here still kind of looking at the map overall and just praying? I mean, even if you're not, if you don't have specifics about exactly where everyone's going, are we still doing that? Because I truly believe that's just critical.
Well, there's a couple of things on the map. I'll encourage you, first of all, go to bazugan.org/map, look at the update, because there's a push pit out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean now that we added over the weekend with Dennis Lomas out in Kona. And since our last call, we added another group in Dallas, another group in Mesquite, Texas, a group in Maine, another group in New Hampshire, a group in Chicago. Probably forgetting a few, but we're up to over 50 groups now. So please do circle back to that map and be praying for all those different locations that we have there.
Okay.
So you're up to 50 groups now, a little over 50?
It's over 50 now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, fellas, I mean, chime in whenever you want, but is everybody still kind of looking over the map and praying? We're still praying for one another?
Yep.
Yeah.
I need to be more consistent, that's for sure. But, yeah. That's a good reminder. Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I kind of definitely see it as two sides. One is... What was that? I think it's a feedback.
Hello.
But I was thinking this week, definitely there's two sides of this, the mission, you know. One is that God would continue to convict the people's hearts in areas all around the country that he's doing, and that souls would be saved. But the other side is that God would raise up more workers, brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, and to go in the harvest, and he's doing that also. And I was meeting with a group of people on a refuge. It's a ministry in Benton that I'm on the board. And I was talking to these guys about, you know, I just told them flat out. I said, you know what, guys, we really don't have God's heart for the lost, you know. Our hearts really aren't broken for the lost. I mean, our brothers and sisters in Christ, the body of Christ at large, it's just not broken like God's heart is broken. And it, even if he was to put us on a scale, I told him from 1 to 10, I don't even think we'd rate as a 1 when it comes to local evangelism. I don't think we would be doing anything that would really bless him tremendously in the area of evangelism. But he is raising up people, and it's exciting to see what he's doing here. I also... I looked at a scripture that came to mind, and I really looked at it in Leviticus 26. And the first half of the chapter is blessings for those, when they would do God's work, or if they would be obedient to God. But the other half is cursings for not being obedient. But there's a verse in 26:8, and it says, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. And I did a little math on that, and 5 chasing 100 is 20-fold. But 100 chasing 10,000 is 100-fold. And I had never recognized that before. But, you know, our little mission is called the 100 Challenge. But it's interesting how God begins to bless exponentially when more and more people are in agreement with one another about doing God's will. It's pretty cool. You go from 20-fold to 100-fold. And so I just think as we continue to be in agreement about what God wants to do, as we continue to pray for one another, as we continue to pray for souls in every area, and as we continue to pray that God would bring more of our brothers and sisters into the field to work, that he's going to just bless, you know, exponentially, because that's what the scripture is saying there. And again, I had never seen that before, but it's pretty cool, you know. So we just got to stay in prayer over these things, and we will see God can continue to work. But it's very exciting, all of you tonight, to hear all of your testimonies. It's awesome.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's one of the things I look forward to with this call, is just hearing the reports from all over, and it's just really encouraging. I want to touch with Arnold, if you're still there. And
Bill's got to go. I got a call I got to take.
Okay.
Is that Bill?
Okay, Carl, I'm here. I was out of town for the last week and a half, but I had a opportunity to go down on a business trip to San Francisco, and at San Francisco we were staying downtown, and Union Square was not too far. So I don't know if y'all have been to San Francisco, but Union Square is just a kind of a park there in the central part of the city, and I had an opportunity to go down there a couple of times on my trip and pass out cards and share the gospel in that area there. Had, multiple conversations with people, met a couple of atheists that didn't believe in God, and, got to share the gospel with them. That was a real blessing. A little bit different in San Francisco than it is in Dallas.
Yeah, I bet.
different attitudes, and, it's amazing, people will listen, they'll listen to you. And praise God, the seeds were planted, and continue to pray for those folks. Also, on that same trip, I broke off and had to go to L.A. for the last part. Actually, it was just last week I was in L.A. Wednesday through Friday, and, had an opportunity because, as I go on my business trips, I share the gospel wherever I can, pass out tracts. This particular occasion, I'd had supper. This was like on a Wednesday, last Wednesday, and it was, had a long day. I was tired. After we had supper, I was heading up the 405 freeway to go back to my hotel, and as I was driving down the freeway, I was getting ready to pass Beach Street, which is the street that takes you down to the pier down there in Huntington Beach, and that's where I like to go when I'm in town to share the gospel, and didn't have any plans. It was kind of getting late in the afternoon. It was chilly outside. Didn't have a jacket on. Actually, I was in shorts. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go down beach, go to Huntington Beach. And, I found myself kind of having a little conversation with the Holy Spirit saying, it's cold outside. It's late. I don't have any tracks, Lord. But as I was going, I actually passed my exit, Beach Street there, and went down a couple of more exits and then ended up turning around. I said, okay, Lord, what do you have for me? And went down there. It was late. The sun was already setting, and on the Pacific coast there, it gets kind of chilly at night. The wind's blowing. But as I was going down to Huntington Beach Pier, there were a lot of people. I don't know what they had, some kind of little festival going down there. I parked my car, and I was just praying, asking the Lord to point me to the person he wants me to visit with, because kind of limited on my cards. I only had a few in my pocket that I'd had that I put in the morning there. And as I was walking up close to the pier, I noticed a group at the top of the pier that were circled up, and they were praying. It looked like they were praying, so I walked up there, and sure enough, there was a group there from Calvary Chapel there in Costa Mesa, probably 10, 15 people that were there, spreading the gospel, inviting people to their church for Easter Sunday. So what a blessing, to see that. You just never know, the Lord is teaching me to be obedient to His voice, no matter how inconvenient it is. If we're obedient to Him, He will bless you.
Mm-hmm.
He will bless you. And we were able to go out. I went with one of the guys from that group, and we went down the pier, and we're sharing the gospel there and had a great conversation with this one guy. Went on for 15 or 20 minutes. And you could tell the Holy Spirit was just working on his heart. And hopefully he ended up going to the Easter service there at Calvary Chapel for Easter service. But, that's my story from last week.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. And I don't know if people know this on this call, but, when Arnold talks about, as you go evangelism on business trips, that's actually how he and I met, is on the park and fly bus at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. I was on my way home from a trip to New York, And I'd left my hotel in the morning with a stack of tracks, and I was handing them out everywhere I went. Got on the Park and Fly bus, and there's Arnold sitting there, and, hey, did you get one of these? And, you know, I think, as Arnold says, you know, be prepared to be blessed, because a great friendship has come out of that. So you never know who you're handing the track to. But, you know, Arnold was kind of like, you know, I've always wanted to know how to share my faith, and so he came to our training and has been coming out witnessing with us ever since then. So I know we're pretty much...
Carl, let me just add that, you know, it's been such a blessing to be a part of this ministry. You know, Bazugan, and here in Dallas, we've got so many faithful followers of Christ. You know, Todd, and I met Scott, Roger tonight, and Carl is such a blessing, too. And you know, in each area, man, God is just raising up men, you know, and women to serve him. And he's been faithful in these prayers. We've been praying, and I just see him moving in the groups. And if you need a partner, somebody to share with you, just continue to pray. We're praying, too, you know, that he's going to add more people to the harvest out there. So many neat things happening.
Right. That's yeah, right. Thank you. Hey, Arnold, could you close us in prayer? I know normally we let everybody pray, but we're already 5 minutes past time. So would you mind praying for us in just a second? And I want to just remind everybody our next call will be on May the 19th. That's the third Monday of May, so May 19th. And I think as of today, I think we're 59 days away from the ConferReach. And so looking forward to seeing those of you that can come join us. And so I'm going to turn the recording off. Thanks, everybody, for joining.